Good morning.
Good morning.
If you would, turn your notebook to page 806. 806. Sing verses 1 and 3. 1 and 3.
I like to stay here longer than men's allotted day, and watch the fleeting changes of life's uneven ways. But if my Savior calls me to that sweet home on high, I'll live with Him forever in glory by and by. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by, until I sing love's story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory high and high. The end I know is nearing, by faith I look away to yonder homes eternal, the land of endless day. I'll cling to Him forever and look beyond the sky, and live with Him forever in glory by and by. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing love's story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh yes, I'm living glory high and high. Oh yes, I'm living glory high and high. I'll tell and sing love's story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh yes, I'm living glory high and high.
Before we go to God in prayer this morning, please turn your hymnbook to page 763. 763. Sing verses 1 and 3. Excuse me. 1 and 3.
Oh, band of brass, for thee thy siren will a moment come, when I shall lay my armor by and dwell in peace at home. We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes, and we'll be together home. I sought at once my Savior's side, no more my steps shall go home. With Him I'll break that chilling tide and reach my heavenly home. We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes, and we'll be gathered home. We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes, and we'll be gathered home.
Let us bow. O kind and merciful Father, we just want to thank you this morning, Lord, for being a good God and for finding us worthy to see another day of salvation that has been offered to all of mankind. And on this first day of the week, Father, we can come together and to worship the one true living God, to remember the one Savior that gave his life on Calvary's cross so that we might have a life and have it more abundantly. We're so grateful and so thankful, Father, that you open our eyes this morning and enable us to prepare ourselves and to come here, Father, and to sing songs and to fellowship one with another. And Father, we want to thank you for the lesson that Brother Norman has prepared. And we too, Father, just want to thank you for giving us your best, your only begotten Son. And we appreciate it so much, Father. And Father, at this time, we want to remember and extend this heartfelt prayer to the many, many precious souls on our prayer list. We know, Father, that they are in need of your tender mercy and your care. And we pray, Father, that you'll just reach out and touch them in a very, very special way, Father, and to let them know that they can always depend on you and to call upon you in time of their needs and their desires. And that they know, Father, that your word says that you would never leave them or never forsake them. And Father, as we go into this worship service this morning, we thank you that we have ears to hear your word and that we'll let it pierce our heart with righteousness. And always seek Jesus Christ to be our leader and our mentor and our tutor. We pray, Father, that everything that we say here this morning and all that we do will be in complete harmony and perfect will according to thy word. For it is in Jesus' name we give you all praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
Before we partake in the Lord's Supper this morning, please turn your books to page 361. 361. Sing verses 1 and 4. 1 and 4.
Oh,
This is the opportunity for each and every one of us, as we can read in Acts 27, to come together on this first day of the week. And also, as we can read in 1 Corinthians 10, 16, and 17, this is an opportunity for all of us to share in this opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper. And it also is an opportunity for us to all come together as one, come together in the same thoughts, to have our minds all in the same place, which is, we all know, we are to be clearing our minds and to all reflect on the sacrifice that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ made on our behalves and what it meant to each and every one of us. So at this time, as we prepare to take of this Lord's Supper, you know, we have the two emblems. We have the bread, which represents his body, and we also have the fruit of the vine, which represents his shed blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we are deeply thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for rising us from our beds this morning, for allowing us to come together to partake into this worship service unto you, Heavenly Father, giving us this opportunity to share in this opportunity to partake of this Lord's Supper, to all come together as one, Heavenly Father, as we clear our minds and as we reflect back on that day on the cross, to remember what that sacrifice, to appreciate what that sacrifice did for each and every one of us, giving us that chance of eternal salvation. And we pray at this time, Heavenly Father, that as we are about to partake of this bread, which represents his body, that we'll do so in a manner that will be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Let's give thanks for the cup. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father who art in heaven, we humbly bow to you this morning, Father, first and foremost, thanking you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for remission of sins, Father, and shared that precious blood, which is the new covenant which was given for us. Father, we ask at this time that as we take up this cup, Father, we do so that it is a way that is pleasing unto thee and is worthy. In the name of Jesus Christ, and we do pray. Amen.
If you would, mark your notebooks to page 876. 876, that will be our song of encouragement this morning. After marking that, please turn to page 489. 489. Same verses, 1 and 4. 1 and 4.
I know. I know.
Hope you'll join in the scripture reading. The scripture reading this morning will be taken from John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. And following that, Brother Skippy Norman will present his sermon, God Gave His Best. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And now, Brother Skippy Norman.
Good morning. Truly, God has once again been good to us. He's spared our lives just one more time to be able to come to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see those who are visiting with us. We're just glad to have you in our midst. Just good to see each and every one of you here this morning. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Wise eternal Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you for this day and for your blessings. Thank you for this opportunity once again you have given us to assemble ourselves together this morning. Lord, now as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word and what it has to say to us and our situation. Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there'll be things that we have fallen short of. Give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Gather in your word the things that I say, Lord. You get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We know that this month is known as the giving season. And so what better way to start off this series on giving by understanding what God gave? When you look at John chapter 3, and there in verse 16 through verse number 18, verse 16 through verse 18, it contains one of the best doctrinal summaries pertaining to salvation. When you look at verse 16, it has been said to describe Jesus as the agent of salvation. In verse 17 states God's purpose in sending his only Son who came to this earth to provide salvation. And then in verse number 18, we see that it depicts the divine judgment that can be averted by believing, that is, accepting Jesus as God's only Son. Who came into this world to provide salvation, which is equate to eternal life. So as we look at these three verses, I want to break down these three verses as we look at the subject, God gave his best. First of all, we see that he gave without partiality. He gave without partiality. Look at verse 16, the beginning. It says, for God so loved the world. His gift was offered to all. God loves all. He loves all colors. He loves all individuals. He loves all social groups, all. And so God loves a world of saints. No, he loves a world of sinners. He loves the sinners, not the sin. He loves the criminal, not the crime. He loves the rebel, not the rebellion. He loves the liar, not the lying. And so we understand God loves the whole world. But not only does he love the whole world, but then we note that he gave his best. In verse number 16, he said he gave his only begotten Son. Here is a word of relationship. You see, when you go back in 1 Samuel chapter 26 and verse 21 through verse 25, you see David was a son to the king of Saul by association. But God the Father is called Father, not because of relationship to his creatures, but because of his relationship to his son. He gave his son Jesus Christ, he gave the best that he had to offer. Of all the gifts that people have received, none is greater than the gift of God's son. Of all the gift God has given to mankind, none is greater than the gift of his only begotten son. Because in Jesus, God gave mankind a way out of sin. In Jesus, God gave everyone a path back to him. In Jesus, God demonstrated his love for people by giving the greatest gift of all gifts. God gave this marvelous gift because he loves people and he wants to save us from our sin. And so God doesn't want any to perish. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so he gives us a chance to come back to him through his son. And so God gave his son, and he asked us to give in return our obedience to him. But then we have to understand what God gave was one of a kind. It was unique. It could not be replaced. It was a part of himself. Aren't you glad this morning that God did not cut corners? God did not hold back. God did not hesitate. God did not consider our needs too unimportant. He didn't consider the cost of his only son too great, or do what many of us do, is that we write off sinners as hopeless and not worth saving. No, he didn't do any of that. God's giving costs something. Now, when it comes to giving, most of the giving we know about is giving that really has no element of sacrifice. Some are willing to give the cheapest. Some are willing to give the less demanding. Some are willing to give the insignificant. But cost was no consideration to Almighty God. And we ought to be glad about that this morning. God did not give the cattle on a thousand hill or silver or gold, but he gave all that he had in the person of Jesus Christ. He gave mean suffering. We think a lot about the suffering of the Son, but have you ever thought about the suffering of the Father? Oh, could you stand in the window of your house and watch an angry mob spit on, beat, abuse, kill your son with the power to stop it? And then God could have stopped it, but the Bible says he gave. He gave because he loved you and he loved me. And then we need to understand that what God gave was for all. It was not for some, but it was for all. Look at the text. He says that whosoever. And when you look at this, this describes the recipient of God's love. God loves the world, but the world does not receive a benefit from that love until it believes in Jesus. The gift that the Father gave was his son. But he said that whosoever believeth in. When you look at that, believes in mean more than intellectual awareness or agreement. It means to trust in. It means to rely on. It means to cling to. Cling to who? Rely on who? Trust in who? He goes on and says, whosoever believeth in him. So what does it mean to believe in Jesus? It means you submit yourself to him and allow him by his spirit to make a difference in your life. Salvation is in him. Salvation is not found in believing in the preacher or the church or a good Christian, but it's in Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And then he goes on and he says, should not perish. This describes the intention of God's love. So the reason why God gives us his only son is that so we won't die. And the reason why we are dying is because of this thing called sin. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And sin is basically the inability to love perfectly. See, every time we get this love thing wrong, every time we are impatient and we are selfish and we are unforgiving, and every time we distort the truth, every time that we gossip, every time we do this, we die a little inside. We need to understand we contribute to the death of this world. And every time we contribute to the death of this world, we stand guilty before God. And we deserve to be punished. And the punishment we deserve is death. Because if you contribute to death, you deserve death. But I'm glad this morning that death isn't what God want to give us. He want to give us life. And so much that he was willing to give his only begotten Son of God to take the punishment that you and I deserve and die in our place in order that we might live. God's love, it actually saves man from eternal destruction. See, God looks at fallen humanity. And he sees again in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he does not want anyone to perish. 2 Peter 3 and verse number 9. But then notice what he wants is in the latter part, but have everlasting life. This describes the duration of God's love. The love we receive among people may fade. It may turn, but God's love will never change. He will not stop loving his people. But then in verse 17, what God gave was appropriate. Look at verse 17. He says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so what Jesus does is that Jesus, he reveals the heart of God, the Father, in sending God the Son to not only bring salvation, but rescue, to bring hope, to bring healing to the world through him. He knew that we all needed a Savior. And the purpose of the Savior is to save his people. His name tells us that you shall call his name, for he shall save his people from their sin, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. That's appropriate to our needs. Why is it appropriate again? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Romans 6:23. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned in his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53 and verse number 6. See, none of us are so good they don't need this gift. And none of us are so bad that they can't have this gift. And so it is an appropriate gift. But then, finally, God gives to those who will accept it. Look at verse 18. In verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. God loves everyone, and he wants everyone to accept his gift, to accept his Son. But not all will accept the gift. Not all will accept his Son. Why? Because some think that they are good enough without a Savior. They say that I'm as good as that person, and I'm better than most. Some think that they are too bad for a Savior. They say, I've sinned so much, I've been so rotten, not even God can help me. Some don't know that there is only one Savior. They say Jesus can't be the only way to get to heaven. Some, they follow some other religious leaders. So some think that they will receive the gift later on. They say, I'll become a Christian when it's more convenient. I got too many things that I want to do now. Some think that they are saved because they believe in God. They say, I believe there is a God that is all matter. Some let other things be more important than God. They say, I don't want to waste my time now in church. I got to go hunting. I got to go shopping. I got to do this. Or I got to take a rest. But let me tell you, God still wants all of us to come to Jesus and eternal life. He still urges us, don't be careless. Tomorrow is not promised any man. Today, if you hear my voice, not harden not your heart. He is telling us this morning in Isaiah 55, verse 6 through 8. He is saying, seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. Let the people turn from their wicked deeds. Let them banish from their mind the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's in the New Living Translation. How happy God is when someone receives his gift. When somebody obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ. How happy God is, because God is still the giver of every good and every perfect gift. I want you to know this morning that what God gives, it'll never fail. What God gives, it'll never wear out. What God gives, it'll always be new. Because it has the power not only to save souls, but it has the power to keep souls saved. I don't know about you, but I'm asking you a question this morning. If you've not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, will you receive his gift? Will you take what he has to offer? And that is his only begotten Son. God gave his best. And next week, Lord's willing, we're going to ask you, are you giving your best? God gave his only begotten Son. Well, how do I receive that gift? You receive it by hearing by this man named Jesus. Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. You got to be willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. Confess Jesus as the Son of God, Matthew 10:32-33. Then go down in a watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. When you come by that water, you're a new creature. In Christ Jesus, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then the Lord adds you to his church. Then you live faithfully. Live faithfully unto death. Revelations 2:10. You receive a crown of life. If you're here this morning, you're a Christian, not been living as a Christian should. Realize what God gave you. Not only did he give his best, but he gave you another chance to make it right with him this morning. Look at your life. See where you stand with God this morning. And if you have any doubt in your mind, if God were to call you right now, you are not ready to meet him, now is the time to get ready while the blood is running warm in your vein. Let us stand.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil the victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power. Wonder working.
Let's bow in prayer. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. We're so thankful, Lord, that you've blessed each and every one of us here this morning, Father, with good portion of health and strength and in the right mind, Father, that we can rise up out of our beds this morning and assemble together, Father, that we worship thee in spirit and in truth. Our Father, we're thankful that we've had this opportunity to worship this morning, Lord, and we pray that all that was done was in accordance with thy will and word and was well-pleasing unto thee. Our Father, we're thankful for the portion of thy word to us that was brought by our brother Norman this morning. And Father, as we go about our lives, Lord, we pray that we'd always remember the gift of your grace and love, the gift of salvation through your Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we go about our lives, Father, we pray that our actions would always reflect our thankfulness for Christ Jesus, and that others may see the hope that's in us, and they might ask us about it, Father. Our Lord, we're mindful of all those who are sick, Father. We pray that you would continue to wrap your arms around them, Father, that you would comfort them, bless the caretakers and the folks that tend unto them, and that if it would be your will, you might grant unto them the things that they need to be restored to their normal health and strength. And our Father, we're so thankful for all the many tremendous blessings of life that you've given each and every one of us, Father. We pray that we'd always remember that these things are a gift from thee, and we'd always remember to thank thee for them, Father. And Lord, as we're getting ready to depart here this morning, we pray that you would continue to wrap your arms around each and every one of us, Father. You would continue to guide us and lead us, Lord, that you would forgive us of our sins and in those areas that we may have fallen short in, Father, as we repent and turn away from those things and do our best to not return to those things, Father. Lord, we ask that you'd bless each and every one of us here, Father, and that you'd return us here safely at our next appointed time, Father. And we ask these and all things, Lord, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.